Welcome to Whatever Happened to Pizza at McDonald's, the investigative journalism program where I ask the question, whatever happened to the pizza at McDonald's? I'm your host, Brian Thompson. Over the past week, a significant portion of the time I would usually devote to investigative journaling has been instead devoted to preparing for the arrival of my Pulitzer Prize. Thankfully, the city where I live, Los Angeles, California, aka Hollywood, hosts many awards ceremonies where trophies and statuettes are handed out to the winners. As such, there is an abundance of pedestal stores from which to purchase a display pedestal for my surprise when it comes in the mail. But despite the ready availability of said pedestals, it has been a rather prolonged and frustrating experience trying to shop for one. Due to what I am sure is just a simple and reversible computer glitch, the Bitcoin wallet I set up to send the Pulit Committee my nominal surprise manufacturing fee has somehow siphoned all of the traditional non-cryptographed currency from my bank account. Thus, I am unable to purchase a pedestal from any retailer that does not accept Bitcoin. And despite Los Angeles's reputation as a thoroughly modern city, I have not had much success finding a pedestal store that meets this criterion. I will keep looking. But in the meantime, I have been able to metaphorically squeeze in some investigative journaling in my off hours. And today, I would like to address some recent McDonald's pizza developments on an internet website / telephone application called TikTok. TikTok is an entertainment platform specializing in relatively short videos of children doing dances in giant empty kitchens with exceptionally high ceilings. But it also plays host to many other types of videos, such as videos of pets doing funny things, videos of fast food employees getting in fistfights with customers, and videos of teenagers pretending to have dissociative identity disorder. As TikTok enjoys such a large audience, it is understandable that global brands would use it to promote their products and services. One such global brand is the McDonald's Corporation, which longtime listeners will remember is the company behind the mysteriously discontinued food item called McDonald's Pizza. Over the past several weeks, many listeners of this very program have contacted me to report some strange activity across various McDonald's TikTok accounts. On December 16, 2022, the main account, which is simply called McDonald's, posted a video captioned, "Comment your fave item below, # throwback, # McDonaldland." It shows several images of vintage McDonald's food and merchandise items. Most of these are the very height of uninteresting. But of note is one shot of a display featuring the artwork from a family-sized McDonald's pizza box, a fully constructed personal-sized McDonald's pizza box, and an environmentally destructive styrofoam container for the short-lived oval-shaped novelty item called the Pepperoni and Sausage McPizza. That McDonald's would post such a video is, of course, shocking to the extreme. Over the years of my investigation, it has become clear that the company's internal policy is to obfuscate its association with pizza as much as possible, lest the public realize that their official explanation for its demise, namely that it took too long to make, is an obvious and sinister falsehood, deserving of incredulous ridicule at the very least, and criminal prosecution at the slightly less least. Why then post a TikTok video that sparks so much curiosity in the McDonald's pizza product? A quick perusal of the comments section demonstrates said spark quite starkly. Viewer Fawzi El Mufti Entry writes in all capital letters, quote, "McDonald's used to have pizza," unquote. Brandoc81 says, quote, "I loved the pizza. Please bring it back. LOL," unquote. Tedra Sayer writes, quote, "I actually had McDonald's pizza, and it tasted pretty good," unquote. And Minecraft Kid comments, quote, "I know a guy who really likes McDonald's and would appreciate it if they got like a cool pen or something," unquote. That last comment has little to do with McDonald's pizza, but I would just like to add on a personal request for myself if any McDonald's representative is listening to this program and is sending out cool pens. But perhaps even more notable is the content posted to a secondary McDonald's account. This account represents McDonald's corporate and is called McDonald's_Corp. It features a series of videos starring a gentleman named Mike Bullington, who purports to be the official McDonald's archivist.
I respond to the questions regarding company history. I preserve the history of the brand, and I have a lot of fun working here at McDonald's. The archives isn't that big, but there are about 5 semi-loads of records behind this wall. Everyone has a McDonald's story, but I get to tell them the story of McDonald's.
While it is somewhat disturbing to know McDonald's offers such a position of employment and did not even send out any metaphorical feelers in my direction, I am pleased that this position exists. It is vitally important that someone with access to the deepest bowels of the McDonald's archives expresses enthusiasm for the fine art of preservation. If, God bend David forbid, an asteroid were to strike the Earth and the surviving mutants and Morlocks needed to recreate McDonald's pizza, at least we can be rest assured that there is a vault that contains some example of what the box should look like. While Mr. Bullington's videos are about uninteresting McDonald's artifacts such as onion nugget sleeves and rotten Hamburglar puppet heads, I know for a fact that just such a pizza box exists, since another video shows a McDonald's employee holding said box and dialing her telephone. Superimposed over the video are black letters in a white box reading, quote, "Me calling the McDonald's archivist to find out if the McPizza box I just found is real," unquote. Of course, this text is disinformation. The box depicted is a McDonald's pizza box and does not have anything to do with the novelty oval-shaped product called McPizza. That aside, I could not help but notice this video whipped up even more commenters into a metaphorical lather of curiosity. Mitchie says, quote, "I've been hearing way too much about the McPizza. What's going on?" unquote. Liam writes, quote, "Bro, I think McDonald's is giving us a hint. McPizza return?" unquote. And Glass Unicorn comments, quote, "Whatever happened to pizza at McDonald's?" unquote. By sheer coincidence, that is the name of this very program. But even though I am pleased the McDonald's archive exists and seems to be managed by someone who is doing almost as good of a job as I would have done, I am rather concerned about the fact that these videos are being shared on the TikTok platform.
Well, joining us now is Sean Henry, Chief Security Officer at CrowdStrike and former Executive Assistant Director of the FBI. Tell me what you think about China's influence over TikTok.
TikTok is a Chinese company. Whether they've got an American affiliate or not, they're controlled by ByteDance, which is a Chinese-based company. And we know that there are 3 concerns about TikTok. One is, first, the security piece, right? Is there a code on that device or code within the application that could potentially be exploited? That's the first piece. The second piece is the collection of personally identifiable information. And certainly we've all heard about this. China's been doing this actively by targeting U.S. companies. The third piece, and I think is one of the larger concerns, is the misinformation or the influence operations. In other words, can TikTok determine who gets what data?
If these allegations are true, it means McDonald's could be seriously compromising the safety of its McDonald's pizza artifacts and other less interesting items. I can imagine a situation wherein TikTok reports the precise GPS coordinates of the McDonald's vault to the Chinese government, which then creates a lifelike rubber mask in the image of archivist Mike Bullington, which an intelligence agent could wear to infiltrate the vault and steal valuable secrets, thus giving China a significant advantage in the ongoing world superpowers fast food pizza race. The reason I can imagine this is not just because I am considered to be the John le Carré of pizza espionage fiction. It is because such a scenario is obvious and inevitable if TikTok is as insecure as many claim. To get to the bottom of these allegations, I decided to consult the proverbial horse's mouth and call the TikTok company on my personal telephone, which is really tantamount to a pocket computer.
Hello, how may I help you?
Hello, this is TikTok?
Yes, the TikTok shop, yes.
Oh, hi. My name is Brian Thompson. I was just calling to ask if it is true that your website gives personal information, location information to the Chinese government?
You know what, buddy? I honestly don't know because that's not us. We're the TikTok shop, the clock and watch repair shop and sales shop.
Oh, clock and watch repairs. Yeah. TikTok as in the noise that a clock makes. Oh, okay.
Yeah, being a more recent phenomenon, we get a lot of calls for them now.
Oh, really?
No,
you do?
No affiliation whatsoever.
Do you mind if I ask, what is the nature of the calls that you receive?
Yeah, sometimes it's usually a very young voice on the other line. Something to the effect of, I can't log into my account, my password, or my email isn't working, or what happened to my views, or whatever, followers are gone. It's something that's always unrelated, but it's TikTok website stuff that they think they're talking to the corporate office or something. You know, it's funny, because, yeah, we don't spell it the same as TikTok, but nevertheless, it happens.
Because I use the Google.com information service and just Googled, you know, what is the telephone number to TikTok? And this is what came up. So that is interesting.
Yeah, sorry, okay. I can't help you there. But if you need a clock or a watch, come on by.
Oh, I might actually need a clock or a watch. It is imperative that I know what time it is. But
yeah, you would love the store. There's probably 50 grandfather clocks, clocks, and wall clocks. And I mean, it goes on and on. Probably 1,000 watches at least.
Oh, wow. Is it ever irritating when they all go off at the hour?
No. I mean, get kind of used to it. We try not to have them all going off at the same time.
Oh, I see.
Usually the ones that are going off on the hour are the ones that we're actually servicing and trying to repair.
I see. One more question. I'm sorry if I'm taking too much of your time. I'm just wondering if you're receiving all of these calls for the TikTok website and telephone application. Have you ever considered pursuing legal action against that company for use of your name, TikTok? I'm sure you were the first.
No, I don't think so. I think, we've been here for 48 years, so I know we've got them beat longevity-wise, but they do spell it differently, so it's not.
Well, I would not want to go to jail for offering legal advice without a license, but I would say it would be worth pursuing.
I don't know. It's spelled differently. What are you going to do, you know?
Well, that is
totally unrelated, and we're not getting hundreds of calls. I think, probably 5 in the last 6 months at the most. It doesn't happen very often. But it didn't used to at all, but, of course, now it does because the website's there.
So. Right. Now, I understand. That is a very admirable, almost spiritual attitude, sort of turning the other cheek, as it were.
We're just out here doing our thing, you know what I mean? It's not like it's taking business away from us or they're doing copyright infringement or anything. They're just...
Well, here's hoping they do not get into the clock retail business. If I need a grandfather clock, I know exactly where to go now. Thank you very much.
Yeah, please do. Even if you just want to look, come in and see all the ones we have. There's amazing stuff in here.
Oh, certainly. I will do so. I'm blocking out some time on my schedule right now.
Good deal. Well, we'll look forward to seeing you eventually. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Goodbye.
And now, a word from our sponsor. It is a situation all too familiar. You are engrossed in an epic novel, such as Lonesome Dove, so much so that you cannot stop reading it even as you drive to work. Your eyes reach a particularly interesting section of the book, such as the part where one of the cattle hands gets bitten to death by a swarm of water snakes, just as your car reaches a busy intersection. The next thing you know, you are on trial for vehicular manslaughter. It is possible you will be acquitted by a jury of your peers, but only if they bother to read Lonesome Dove themselves so they can understand how engrossing it is. As you await the reading of the verdict, you nervously bounce your leg at the thought that perhaps some of the jurors did not heed your attorney's plea to give the book about 100 pages to really get going. But you need not have ever placed yourself in this position. If you had been listening to the Lonesome Dove audiobook instead of propping the paperback against your steering wheel, you would not be facing a significant number of years behind bars. Audible has a vast selection of audiobooks, including Lonesome Dove. If you had been listening to it, perhaps instead of running over a personal trainer crossing the street on a coffee break, you would have been safely enjoying the soothing voice of the great actor Lee Horsley,
star of television hits such as Nero Wolfe, Matt Houston, and Paradise, as he gently read to you the part where the cattle hand gets bitten to death by a swarm of water snakes. Audible. Perhaps the warden will let you have an MP3 player. Do you know what happened to pizza at McDonald's? Do you remember it? Please send all correspondence to pizza@mcdonalds@gmail.com. To support the show, please join my Patreon at patreon.com/pizzaatmcd's for exclusive benefits. And for more information, including important announcements, useful links, etc., visit pizzaatmcdonalds.com. Thank you to my invaluable Patreon producers: David Friedman, Grant Bacon, Isabella Zelazkowski, Jacob Ford, Joe Kajic, Kimberly King, Kyle Tarock, Pam Gabriel, Troy Babs, Will, Andrew Duffy, Andrew Ahmed Johnson Rubin, Billy Jean, Brad Allen Thompson, Felix Dooley, Feral Housecat, Gerald Lewis, Hubert T. Dragonfart, Hubert T. Dragonfart, Jay Poop, Calvin Thomas, Kat Resney, Kim Podelsnick, Laurel Paul, Mel, Mitchell Kordick, Opus Mareshi, and Ryan Guggenmaus. I'm Brian Thompson, investigative journalist.